Hey everybody, this is Amelia Campbell, co-host to the Cherokee Edwards Inspires show, where we're going to have shows here to talk about life, to talk about what makes your life special, what makes it better, and everyone working together, because together, everyone achieves more. Acronym for the word team. Stay tuned and let's get it on.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Cherokee coming to you live and direct one more time with the Cherokee Edwards Inspire Show. And again, I had to bring back our incredible Queen Z. If you guys remember the last episode, we talked about her struggles and triumphs of getting out of Iran and coming to the United States. Well, that was part one, and it's been so well received and requested that we've decided to go ahead and do part two right now. So, Queen Z, what's good? Say hello to the people.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for having me again. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much for whoever that wrote comments. I appreciate you and wanted me to come back, and I'm here, and I will come back as many times as you want me to, because I have a lot to say.
Yes, you do. And we love it. I tell you, and your personality and the going through the things you've gone through, I'm speechless when I talk about it. So I just appreciate you for opening up and telling your story here on our show with our listeners. Even though you don't know these people, it's just they really have taken to your story, as I have, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like a kid in class. So without further ado, Queen Z, let's catch them back up, and then let's take them deeper into the story of Z.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm gonna take off from Turkey, and then we went to Italy. I'm just gonna start talk about Italy a little bit. That kind of like again explains why I'm so down to earth. It's because I learned as a child to adapt to any situation quickly and not be too fussy about things, you know? So, like, my parents made it quick for us to, like, you know, be cool, be comfortable, and took care of things. But anyway, so we got transferred from Turkey after 9 months to Italy. And we were in Italy for 9 months also. And what a beautiful country. Again, like I said, I've been on Turkey, Italy, and Germany. And all three countries I recommend for everyone. Anytime you get the chance, go see, especially Turkey and Italy. So we were in a hotel, and in the hotel, it was all the Iranians that were coming from Iran, being refugees and stuff. And we were all staying there to get transferred to U.S. And then people were going to different states. But a lot of people were going to California, because we heard California has the best weather. Even though Iran has the four seasons, so, you know, we got the mountains, we got the oceans, amazing when season changes to be in Iran. That's how beautiful it is,
right?
You know? So, anyways, and then from there, actually in Italy, I learned how to swim, and there was this lady that, She was staying in the same hotel, and I never forget. She was so beautiful, and she reminds me of the Halle Berry coming out of the water in James Bond.
Yeah.
She did have her skin tone too, because people from Iran, there's parts of Iran, especially Persian Gulf, they're more darker skin, you know, and they even speak Arabic, Farsi and Arabic. So wow. Yeah, but anyways, so I was like sitting there watching her coming out of water and everything. So she comes and she's like, "How come you're watching me? How come you don't go in the water?" And I said, "I don't know how to swim." Because back then my parents, I don't know, I never saw them swim, so I don't think they swam.
Wow. They were too busy working.
Exactly. So anyways, so she told me, she said, "Go get your bathing suit if you have, and then I'll teach you." And I said, "Okay." So I went excited to come down, and then she takes me in the water, and I'm holding on her, and then her arms kind of goes out a little bit. She keeps saying, paddle, you know,
right,
like a little puppy and stuff. And
right.
I'm like, you're not going to let me go. And she's like, no. So, and then I'm like, okay, I don't feel anything under my feet. And next thing you know, she left me there. She left me there. I'm all going up and down and stuff. I just remember what she was saying. And she didn't take me that far, but so I came out and she was standing there watching me. So when it came out, I was so angry. You know, I didn't want to go in the water. I didn't want to say hi to her for a couple of days. And she pulled me aside and she said, I know you're mad at me, but I wanted to get the fear of water and ocean and the waves out of you to see that you can survive by right. just pedaling and not panicking.
Right.
And I wasn't going to let you die in there. I was going to come and get you if I need. I knew you needed help.
Right.
So, but yeah, and then after that, she took me in and she told me how to swim. I learned how to swim in the ocean. And it actually is harder than a swimming pool because you get the waves.
Yes, yes.
And so that was that. And then, again, like I said, how my family would make the best out of everything. So this kind of like starting of the seed of the printing shop in our family, in my brain and what's going on a little bit. So as we were passing by this printing shop, my dad just stood there and started looking at these machines and all that stuff. It looked like he was having an orgasm. Because that's how you felt seriously when it came to printing. That's right. How much he loved it, you know.
Right.
And anyway, so next thing you know, we're barely knowing any Italian. Barely any English at all at the time because we were very new. And over there, they send us to learn English.
Right.
You know, for the kids.
Yeah.
A little bit and stuff. So anyways, so the guy comes out and starts talking to my dad, broken English, just like sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, my dad got a job there.
Wow.
So he got a job, yeah. So this guy rented an apartment for us, got us a car. And he was willing, after my dad started working there, he was willing to turn my dad into a partner, half-half, without my dad giving any money.
Wow.
That's how good my dad was.
Wow, yeah. Yes.
You know, and yeah, and he was like, stay. He was crying when my dad was like, no, you know, we're going to U.S. We got to go to U.S. That's what's in our way. So God knows what our life would have been if we stayed in Italy. So it's crazy how we have like so many different ways our life could have completely changed.
Yeah.
You know? And because first we're supposed to go to Spain and then we go to, and then we get an offer for Italy. So Italy was great. People were coming over to our house like, you know, we were from Italy.
Wow.
We were cooking and everything. And then from there, they send us to New York. They sent us to New York and we were there. This was like December 83. I just turned 13 and I got my first period in New York.
You became almost a junior woman in New York.
Yeah. And the thing is, imagine, this is like a long time ago we're talking about.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about sex or anything like that. And on top of it, coming from a Middle Eastern family, they don't explain to you what this is, what's that, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And then one of the crazy traditions that we have, which I feel like it's fucking like, well, pardon my life, it's kind of like crazy, is when the mom sees the daughter for the first time getting her period, they're supposed to slap you in the face.
Oh, wow.
But not hard. But then again, I have seen some parents for some reason hard. But so they say if they slap you on each side, the girl will have a red cheek for the rest of her life. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a BS.
Right.
So where's my red cheek?
Right.
I'm kidding. I didn't get my mom didn't believe in all this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, so that was like my first thing. And it's like not knowing what it is. But anyways, so seeing Abaji coming to United States, especially in New York. Oh my God, the high rises, tall buildings, mm-hmm. and it was in Christmas, so it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The, you know, that Toy Story, I forgot what it's called, that closed down. That was Shorts. Was it Shorts? Something
the,
that was.
The Christmas Story?
No, the Toy Story.
Oh, the Toy Story, yeah.
The Toy Store, that's big.
Oh, yeah, Toys R Us?
Something. But
yeah,
was,
Toys R Us, that's what it was.
No, it was something.
Was it Kitty City?
Was it? Oh, okay, maybe there's, huh?
Because Toys R Us was the big one that closed down, and then I think they're trying to bring it back, but that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then there was Kitty City up north, too, so go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah, but Alexa, next, but, and sorry, I have to tell my Alexa, can I tell, Alexa? But anyways, so we just saw all of these beautiful toys and decorations and stuff, and I have to say I fell in love with New York hot dog.
Oh yeah.
And I ate hot dog every day, a few times a day. And to the point, the second time I went back to New York was 2015, which that's another story, how I went with backpack by myself and stuff. But anyways, and I couldn't wait to get to the street so I could have one of their hot
one
dogs.
Of those Nathan hot dogs.
Yes.
Yes.
But anyway, so from there we stayed in the hotel, and after 3 days we had to go back to the airport because we were flying to California. So by the time we got to California, they took us straight to the immigration from the airport. And now we had the long flight. We go to the immigration, you're hungry, you're in a place, you have no idea where you're at. You know, you're just following people, like, you seriously like a blind. That's somebody that needs to lead you everywhere. You
right,
know?
Right.
So anyways, so we got there, and our luck, the guy that was handling our file, he was from Afghanistan. So we could speak the same language.
Right.
And the thing was, with Afghans, they speak Farsi. They call it Urdu, and there's another thing they call it. I forgot. But their Farsi is more with the books. Ours is modernized because when the French went through Persia,
right.
Ours became more modernized, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so this guy was so nice. And, you know, he helped us and everything, brought us, like, little cookies and stuff, the little snacks here and there and stuff like that. And so by the time they took us from immigration to the apartment that we were going to live in, it was around, I want to say, 8, 9 p.m. at night, right? It's dark.
Right.
So immigration is in the L.A. area, so it's not that good of an area to begin with. But so they took us to Compton.
Mm-hmm.
So now, for people who are from L.A., I'm sure they remember Compton in the 80s. Yeah, it was a rough neighborhood.
Yeah, very big experience.
And so as we're driving, we're getting closer to our so-called apartment. We see, like, graffitis on the wall. We don't even know what they are, but they don't look attractive.
Right. Right.
Burnt cars, dirty. My mom, I never forget. I swear her voice is still in my ear. And my dad's like, are we in the right country?
Right. This is like a third world country we went to.
Seriously, we left Iran for this? I want to go back home right now.
Right. Right.
So anyways, we get to the building, and oh my God, one of these old buildings, graffiti everywhere. And my mom was like, I don't even want to get out of the car. So the guy's like, you know, it's this tall guy, white guy, you know. Poor thing. He never... Yeah, no, okay, but, you know, broken language. But anyways, I told my mom, I said, it's okay, I guess we got to go. So we kept going, so we go to the elevator. I never forget, and I never been in an elevator that has these chains.
Right.
not United States.
Right.
This cannot be United States.
You're like, where did y'all send us?
I swear. So anyways, we get in the elevator and we're like, is this elevator even going to make it? So we get up there to the fourth floor. Oh my goodness. So we get to our apartment. As soon as this guy opened the door, the cockroaches look for a fucking hole.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I am not exaggerating. I swear I am not exaggerating anything for you guys. Okay, to make it more interesting. No, this is the entrance of us to the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we didn't see anything because we got here like during the afternoon. By the time you get to the airport, everything is dark, so you don't see anything. So the couch had cigarette holes in it. I mean, it was disgust horrible. So we didn't even want to sit up. I swear to God, we didn't even want to sit anywhere.
Right.
That's how bad.
Right.
So anyways, that's why when some people like think, oh, people get help from the United States, but
United States needs some help in their own cell, don't they?
Yeah, they make sure you get to work.
All right, so we're going to take a station identification break, and we will be right back with more of the life and adventures of Z. Welcome back, everybody, to the Cherokee Edwards Inspired Show. And we were discussing or listening to the amazing stories of Z and how she got to America and how she got to the levels that she's at now. So we're gonna go back to, let's talk about this Compton situation. Let's get back to your intro to Compton.
Sure. What's up, Compton? I love y'all. I have a lot of friends from Compton, Inglewood. You know, I used to hang out in places like that. So I like my brothers and sisters. that night, we didn't go to sleep. Oh, funny thing. So we never had peanut butter in my country before. So when you have never eaten peanut butter, right, you don't know how to eat it.
Yeah. Oh, that had to be something.
So, I'm going to go to the store and get you guys some food, and I'll be right back. So we're sitting there. We were just like, how is this America? But what is this? And then the next day, we were supposed to go to immigration because we have to do a lot more paperwork and all that stuff. So he comes back. He got Wonder Bread, peanut butter, and jelly.
Yes.
That's all he came back with water. So we're all like looking, they're sitting starving.
Right, like what is this?
You put this on.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm cracking up.
No, it's funny because it's your introduction.
Oh my God, this is so much.
Right.
My mom was like, okay, go ahead and take a bite and see what this is.
Everybody's scared of you. Eat it first. You bite it first.
So anyway, so my dad takes a big bite. And then he's like, it's hard to chew, but it doesn't taste bad.
Right, right.
But I love peanut butter now. I love peanut butter.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the next day, which we didn't sleep that much, we were using our clothing as blanket and put it on the carpets and stuff because we didn't want to sleep on anything, to be honest. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And they took us to the immigration again. My mom, she sat there. And she spoke Farsi with the guy. Listen, I have a feeling there's a confusion. I don't think we're in America, number one.
You tricked us.
Yeah. Number two, if really this is America, can we get a ticket to go back to
Europe? Yeah, we need to go home.
Deal with whatever it is.
That's right. Oh my God.
Yeah. And he was like, no, this is it and stuff. So, now for the people who have listened to the first episode, the guy that raped me, he comes to picture the second day that we were in California. He worked in immigration and he turned out to be, you know, from the same city as my dad, whatever, they became friends. So, when they started talking there, right there, and then they became friends, and he said, I'm going to help you guys. Just give me a couple of days, you know. Because I don't know if you can remember, we only had $200 when we came to United States, five people.
Wow.
You know, and so he said, just stick around. I'm going to come today after work. I'm going to come and pick you guys up. We could go and look for an apartment and stuff. So he took us to the valley, you know. And we started looking and stuff like that. So we found an apartment. So the fourth day, we left that apartment, thank God. So he rented it for us. Mm-hmm. And we were paying him, you know. He says, don't worry, you guys could pay me later, whatever. Because mm-hmm. he saw my dad as a hustler. He's just going to be working and all that
right.
stuff.
Right, right.
So, yeah. We barely had any sleep in those three nights that we were there. So, if it was anybody else, they probably would have been like, we're out of here, please.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, to be honest with you, yes, he did a very, very horrible act, but he pretty much, in a way, saved us. Maybe I took a bullet for the whole family.
Yeah, you took one for the team. That's unfortunate to say that, but...
Yeah, seriously. Wow. Yeah, but anyways... I never thought about it that way. Actually, it just came to my head right now, honestly. That's so crazy.
Oh, man.
All of these years. Yeah.
To be a gift for that, right? Good gracious. Yeah.
But see, that's how you have to let go
of
certain things.
Yes.
Instead of sitting and dwelling on it, it's good to be silly. It's good to be one of your stuff. And stop being so serious.
Right.
Things happen.
Right.
They happen to all of us.
Right.
The thing is, people don't speak. That's why you think it's not happening.
Right. Yeah, right.
But it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
definitely. And so anyways, so he got us an apartment. And back then, it was so much easier than what it is. Now, people actually truly cared for each other. People actually believed each other. People actually had credit with each other.
Yeah.
Word of mouth actually meant something.
Yes.
Took hands. Meant something.
Yes.
Not anymore.
No, it don't mean a thing now. If it ain't on contractual agreement, we can't do it.
Yeah. Now it's different.
Yeah.
So we got to the apartment, and for, I want to say, a good few weeks to a month, we were just using our clothing, and he brought us a couple of blankets, pillows, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that's what we were using, you know.
Right.
And like during the day, we would just go venture out in the neighborhood. We could go to the stores and stuff. And then that's when we got introduced with the candy from U.S., peanut butter, Payday, stickers.
Right.
We're like, okay, we see America now.
Right. This is a little bit better.
A little bit better. And so right away, within a week or two, we went to school. Now, one thing with people, I want people to know is that media makes other countries look like they're stupid, they're this, they're that. But my country is far from it. And I could speak only for my country because that's where I'm from.
Right.
And I've seen other countries. It's not true what you hear
right.
on media. Because right. I've been there. But me and my sister, we didn't go to school. And we were going to school in Iran. I was like, I just was going to enter sixth grade before we left. Yeah. And for a year and a half, we didn't go to school. And we barely knew any English. But our education was so high, we took off where we were supposed to be.
That's right.
So when people talk bad about Iran, no, we're well educated.
Right, right.
And boy, oh boy, oh boy, our education is like high level.
Right.
So yeah, but yeah, we went to ESL school, ESL classes, you know, and it's so funny. I never forget. When I looked at her, I said, how is that possible? She was from India and she was teaching English.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing. So if I do it once in a while.
Amazing.
And then her accent was so heavy too. And I was like,
how'd you get this job? You're like, how did you get this job?
She was so sweet though. I loved her. There was something about her. I could totally see her face right now, you know? And we started going to school. And that friend started taking us the weekends to garage sales. So that's how we became introduced to garage sales. That's why I like flea markets and all that stuff, because it's fun. You find treasures.
Yeah, you go look at, oh man, look at this.
Yes.
And you don't have to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Not at all. What I'm wearing actually is from Goodwill, $1.
And look how nice it looks on you.
Thank
See?
You.
See, you made it look a lot better than it did in the store, I guarantee it.
Thank you. You're welcome. So anyways, and little by little, we bought furniture. And so at this time, I want to say, we were in the country for like not even 3-4 months. My dad found a job, another printing shop, because we used to go walk around our neighborhood, and then he turned out to be Persian. How great was that?
Wow.
So started working there, and little by little, we started making money, and we didn't even need help from the government anymore. And within a year and a half, almost 2 years, we bought the printing shop that my dad got the job for.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's a story right there.
Yeah. So he bought that. And then from there, we bought another one, which we closed that one. We just changed the location and stuff.
Right.
And that's how everything started. So.
That's amazing.
But, yeah. Just, I wore my first makeup in school. It was so funny. Oh my God. And it's like, I had hair on my legs and, you know, in Iran and stuff like that, you don't like shave your legs. And I felt so bad. And I was like, oh my God, I have hair on my legs. And the girls were already shaving their legs.
Right, right.
To come home crying to my mom, please. They make fun of me. I was BSing.
You just wanted to look like them. You wanted your legs to look like theirs.
Yeah.
Smooth.
And I never forget. So what I used to do is I would wear makeup in school. And before we would leave school, I would wash my makeup.
You wash it off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day, I had my makeup on. And I thought I could wash it. So I come home. And yes, I'm back. And even it took me ass whooped once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as I came home, my mom was like, what? Boom, smacked me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the nerve to say, why are you hitting me?
Oh, it got worse from there, probably.
She says, there you go. And that was it. It took off.
Yeah.
We just took off, you know, and worked, school, and we adapt. We adapt with everything.
Perseverance.
And life changed, yeah. I want to say the first couple of years when we were in U.S. was really good. Before we got the second printing shop, second location, everything was good. And then that's when, like, we started making a lot of money with the second one. So my dad started playing a lot, you know.
So, money gave him a little bit more opportunity.
Yeah. So things changed. To be honest with you, that printing shop, as much as I love it, as much as I adore it, and I miss it so much, you know, there was a lot of heartache in there. There's a lot of heartache in there, fight between parents. That's another thing. Please, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, I come from a divorced family. I'm the first child. I had to grow up so fast, and it was all because of the difficulty between my parents. And the thing is, they were kids themselves when they got married, you know, because back in the day, they got married younger. If you don't get along with your partner, if there's fights, there's arguments, there's no love, there's tension, whatever it is, if you can't fix it, go your separate ways.
Right.
You don't help.
And we are back with the beautiful and greatly world educated Z. These amazing stories.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm like, wow, this is a real history lesson right now. A cultural lesson, you know, e-commerce, you know, the drive. Definitely.
I'd be like, no, you're not coming near me.
not on you, not a chance. Not a chance.
But yeah. So what else? And then after that we stayed in that. It's, you know what's so funny is that from that apartment, every single year we moved to a new apartment.
Wow.
And guess who did all the packing? I did.
Woo!
I mean, not all the packing, most of the packing, because parents were working.
Right.
Yeah. And my mom was like, Mom, can you settle somewhere, please?
Right.
I mean, every year. Yeah, so.
That had to be rough. But
after that, high school, it was awesome. I had so much fun in my high school years. I really did. I met my love of my life, my first love, you know. I had some cool friends, two that I could say they're still my friends of the day. It's
wow.
So funny. I talked to my best friend. How cool is this? My best friend from high school. I texted him, the other day, and I actually asked him about Bitcoins because I know he's in stock market and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew if anybody gives me a right answer, it's him. And we don't even talk that often.
Right.
It could go through 3 years without talking.
Right.
He responds to me in the same way with me. Anytime I take boy, I mm-hmm. swear to God.
Mm-hmm. That's what a real friend does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always say it's okay if you don't talk to your friends or know what they're doing at all times.
Okay.
No, we need that freedom from each other.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that counts that come back.
Yes.
You know? That doesn't matter. They pick up where they left off.
Yeah.
The high school, it was great. Oh my God, for the first time, I saw a teenager pregnant. We don't see that in Iran. If you're pregnant, that means you're already married.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh my goodness. I went back home. I was like, Mom, sit out and let me tell you.
Wow.
This girl was pregnant. She was just like hitting herself, saying no. In your school, she was panicking. And then nowadays, it's like 2 out of 3 are pregnant.
Yes, it's everywhere you turn. The moment a girl turns 15, you might see her as a mother.
Do you see? It's crazy how things has changed, you know? So, yeah, in high school, all my friends were Persians. I was hanging out with all Persians and stuff. And my first crush was a brother, Jerry Curls. Yeah. Oil's dripping. It was so sexy. He looked exactly like Jermaine Jackson. Wow. That's what I have a thing for, Jermaine Jackson. So I always had my eyes open, but I mainly I was with Persians. Uh-huh. And I got engaged at a very young age. That needs a whole hour.
By another by itself, huh? It sounds like a part three coming.
Yes. Oh my God. Listen, I could be like part and too many parts.
Right. I'll tell you.
But yeah. And then I met my first love, you know, in high school. He was my friend's best friend. And he was older than me, which was, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. But my mom, they all knew him. It wasn't like I was hiding anything.
Right.
My mom actually, till this day, like, she knows I still talk to him. She's like, I always liked him. I said, yeah, he was such a sweetheart, you know. And back then, like, being almost, well, I was 17. When he told me, you know, you could do so much better than me, back then, I didn't care about what kind of car he was driving, what he looked like. It's the way he treated me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. The way he was there for me. And I even told him, I said, honey, I don't care about any of that.
Right.
Look at the way you're treating me like a queen. Right. I don't care if you have an old car. Who cares?
Right.
And so many people actually made fun of us. Like, it was like, oh my God, da, da, da. And I was like, I got the best thing. Right. You know, I'm the one that's being treated like
the way you're treated. You know, somebody could buy somebody great gifts and treat them like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, like Lady in Red, that's our song. Lady in Red for the rest of my life is our song. And wow. It's so funny, me and him were talking about it. It's like, every time I listen to Lady in Red, it reminds me of you. And I was wearing red, actually, that night.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember exactly what it was. It was so much fun. And so what happened was, he was Jewish and I'm Muslim. And back then, unfortunately, it's so disappointing to me that humans allow religion separate. Love,
yes.
Especially love.
Yes.
Yeah. Because love is, when they said love is blind, love is blind.
Yes.
And so he came to me one night, and back then we didn't have cell phones like you do and everything.
Right.
No, it was house phones.
That's
and
right.
Stuff.
That's right.
So he called my house and he's like, I'm coming over and we need to talk. Oh my goodness. He came and I knew something was wrong. So we went and parked and we spent a lot of time in his car. Just parked in front of my mom's house and just sit there and talk for hours. Just hold each other's hands.
Yeah.
It wasn't like so sexual the way it is.
Right,
now.
Right. It was, you know, intimate, more intimate.
Yeah. We actually exchanged feelings.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, I miss that so much. And so anyways, he's like, yeah, my parents found out and they said that they would have disowned me if I continue seeing you. And we were in a prime of our love, you know? So he was like, you know, forget about my family. I want to be with you. I don't care. At that age, I'm crying my eyes out. And I looked at him. I said, listen, babe, as much as I love you, as much as I'm ready to marry you right now, if we go to the courthouse, I have to stop it because I'm going to have my parents. They don't care what religion you are. Uh-huh. They're not going to care what any of my boyfriend or husbands were from.
Right.
As long as they treat me right.
Right.
That's how I was.
Right.
And one day, our love is not going to be Goo Goo Gaga. Because like I said, I don't live in fairy tale. I always lived in reality.
Right.
I told him, I said, we're not going to be Goo Goo Gaga like this forever. And I don't want that day to come for you to turn around and say, because of me, you didn't see your parents.
Right. The resentment that would come from that.
No.
Right.
No. And you know, we on and off, we saw each other. Oh, we went through craziness, you know, high hiding here, hiding there. And that crazy fiance that I told you that I had, he was, oh, it was crazy. That's another story. How sometimes parents don't see what's in front of their eyes.
Right.
And they take somebody else's word because you're younger.
Right.
They think you're stupid or you're a teenager or you don't know. Or
right.
Be quiet. No. I saved myself from that situation. Nobody else.
Right.
I did.
Right.
You know, so that's another episode. But yeah, and like I said, we were, till this day we're friends, and he always tells me, he says, till the rest of my life, I always question how my life would have been if I would have stayed with you. Because he's married, he has kids, and he's miserable in his marriage. Yeah.
Because things can't be forced.
No.
You try to force it, at some point in time, pressure bursts pipes, as they say. Mm-hmm. You know, you start living with regret.
Yeah, exactly.
But like you said, it's unfortunate that parents step in too much. I know sometimes they step in and they think they're doing the right thing by their children, but sometimes they're hurting their children worse by trying to live their life for them. You know, they may have truly found true love. And, you know, like you said, humans are the only creatures on earth that has developed things to create separation.
Correct.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
You know.
Why can't every single one of us have one religion?
Right. If there's truly one God, right?
Exactly.
Then why not one religion?
One God.
Right.
Whoever I spoke to, there's only one God.
Yes.
It's just, we just have different messages.
Right. Right. And that's the problem, is that, you know, you have people that, and I know we always say we're not going to get into, you know, religion and politics, but you can't help it because the world is built on it.
No.
The world is built on it.
No, no. Especially,
yeah.
Especially right now. I can't believe that in 20th century, we're even talking about race, religion. I cannot believe that discussion is still out there.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's because some people do not want to be happy. Real joy comes from within, right?
Exactly.
And if you're not happy with yourself, a lot of people have to find someone to blame for their unhappiness, you know? Mm-hmm. Even does it make no sense to somebody who's truly happy? Because when we look at somebody, we say, man, why are you so bent out of shape about this? This does nothing to you.
Yeah.
This does nothing to you. It doesn't take anything from you. It doesn't hurt anything. Why do you hate this person and you hate that person for the color of their skin or for their, you know, their religion, what they were taught as a young person, right?
Yeah.
And this is why you have so much hatred in the world, because people were programmed.
Yeah.
As smart as the human being is smart to a detriment at times, right? The white Persian cat does not care about the Siamese cat. He loves it or doesn't love it, you know? The black dog loves the golden retriever. Pit bull can grow up with a German shepherd, you know? Dogs can grow up with cats and love them, you know?
Yeah.
But we can speak each other's language, understand each other, and yet we can't understand each other, you know? I can understand what you're saying.
Unfortunately, as soon as we get close to becoming more in tune with each other, something else happens that divides us on TV.
Yes. Look what's happening now in America. I mean, I know this is worldwide, but I just want to talk about America for a moment with this, like you say, because this is where we live. This is where we're here. If you look at what the mask wearing has done in the last couple years in the division, right? And then the vaccination, the vaccine, how it's separating America, how it's separating people. It's actually making people hate each other. It's anything, like you said, something is always coming around a corner to make somebody belittle somebody else, right? They could be both equally healthy, both equally have families, but one side would hate another side. And for either side, doesn't matter what side we're talking about, it's just either side, right? We need to, you know, mind our business a little bit more and just smile and care about people and don't judge.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be judged, so why judge someone else, right?
If you want to look at it, so many people are hypocrites.
Yes.
Every one of us are a hypocrite.
Right.
One more than the other.
Right.
But every single one of us are a hypocrite.
Yes.
That's why I say every single feeling we have is the same.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Being a hypocrite is one of our feelings.
Yes. It is one of them. You know, because so it forces judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it forces judgment on someone, you know?
Yeah, and it's like,
I was just telling my family, it was funny before I came over here. And I talk about feelings and how to treat others and how we treat each other. So I always talk about, you know, listen to understand. Don't listen to respond, you know? And that's the hardest thing to teach because, like you said, we're hypocrites. It's very difficult. If somebody tells you, hey, Z, I want you to listen to understand what I'm saying. Don't listen to respond to me, right? Okay, if I say that, you say, oh, okay, I got it. That means you don't want me to say anything about it. You just want me to, okay, I get you. Yes. But if you don't give the person that direction, they instantly get defensive and say, hey, I didn't say it like that. Or I didn't mean for you to take it that way. Well, if I'm telling you I take it this way, it's not for you to say I shouldn't take it that way. You know, it's for you to say, okay, I hear how you feel. What can we do to fix that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's difficult because it's hard to teach an adult something that you should have learned when you were a child.
Yeah.
You know, respect. You know, when you tell your.
What is that?
Right.
They know how to sing in a song.
Yeah, exactly, right? And while they singing the song, they disrespecting somebody all day long, right?
I swear to God, it's like you sing it, guys, but come on.
Right.
No, it's a very, very, very interesting world we're living in.
Yeah. It's people insane. Point finger, oh God, it's you. You know, you know, like I said before, and it goes back to you have a different set of eyes coming from another country and haven't fought to get here. But what I've noticed, I've only been to your country because of war. If I hadn't been in the war, I wouldn't know what Iran looks like. I wouldn't know what Naples, Italy looks like. I wouldn't know what Cartagena, Spain looks like. I wouldn't know what Crete looks like. And they're beautiful places. I've enjoyed all these places that I've been. But I was there because I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there because it was a vacation. My parents couldn't take me there, you know. So when I hear your stories, it makes me understand a little more. And we both know that you have some people, they have to have a villain. It's got to be this country's fault. Well, that country didn't ask you to get into their business either. You know, there's times where, you know, and being a veteran, I can promise you that a lot of us that were on that ship, me and my shipmates and friends, we didn't want to be over there. We were forced to be over there by orders, right? By orders. And the leaders, they generally never come there and go through that time with us with the war. They come to the United Nations and they talk and they argue and they have a disagreement. And then all of a sudden, young people have to die. And then older people have to die because now you're letting off bombs in places and the leaders are not there. The leaders are somewhere in a bunker or in, you know, safely in their country watching young people go off to die for their disagreement. You know, that could be a whole show too. I get emotional about it because I spent 4 years in, and I promise you 4 years was enough.
Let me tell you, do you know how many people from Army, Navy, I work with, especially being in my city. Like I said, I was in the entertainment
service
and all that.
Yes.
For a while here. And I want to say 90% of them said they had nothing to do with being there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, for instance, I went to get some blood work done the other day, and this gentleman was sitting next to me, older gentleman. He was he said he was 82, actually. And so he started talking to me, and there was a gentleman that was sitting on my other side. He was Filipino. Filipino, older gentleman, too. So this guy kept asking me, where are you from, and da 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 da. I told him. And when I told him, I said, yes, U.S. took care of us from Turkey, send us to Italy, and send us to America. Oh, he was having such a hard time with it. And he kept talking down to me. Oh, well, you know, we paid for it. And I told him, I said, please bring it down a notch.
Right.
You don't want me to open my mouth.
Right.
I mean, I don't get dirty or nasty.
Right.
Very politely, I can put you in your place.
Right.
That, and even the gentleman next to me in the Philippines, he knew because he's from another country.
Right.
We get treated.
Yeah.
You get, if, see, the states that you don't get the racism as much towards us or whatever, I want to say it's California, Nevada, you know, New York, because there's so many of
us. It's so there. Diverse. Yeah, it's so diverse. You're right. You know? You're right. Yeah, yeah.
No, because you don't know. You can't sit here and tell me what's going on in Ukraine.
Right.
You can't sit here and tell me you know how they're feeling in Afghanistan, or how they're feeling in Iraq, or how they're feeling in America.
You don't.
Have no clue. Since World War II, you guys, nothing has happened. So you guys have no idea. So it really bothers me, and you could see in my body language.
I can see it right now, yeah.
It bothers me that you sit there and, oh, we paid for you. Do you know what I had to go through to get here?
Mm. And because they won't listen.
I'm the taxpayer that paid for you. Well, tell your government not to butt in other countries' businesses.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
That's it.
And we can't help it because bullies do that.
Nobody wants to. Let me tell you one thing I'm going to say. I hope people don't hate me for this, but it's the truth. If all the Persians, all of these immigrants didn't come here, how did you guys would you even know anything about anything around the world? Because Americans don't travel.
No, no.
They don't even go from one state to another.
No, not like Europeans do.
That never seen the ocean.
Yeah. Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
No, one thing about Persians, Middle Easterns, Europeans.
Yeah, Europeans, they travel. Yes, they're world travelers.
Travel.
I own a travel company. And my biggest thing is Europeans shut down, period. They shut down for vacation at least minimum 3 weeks a year. Out of the year. 3 weeks to go and enjoy themselves in vacation.
Absolutely.
Even a McDonald's worker. You know?
They live more than we do, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, yes, American dream. I don't even believe.
Depends on what dream you're talking about. Some of it's a nightmare for some of us.
American dream. America, you have opportunities that you don't have in other
parts
of the world.
That's what it is. It's a land of opportunity.
The only thing you have is opportunity.
Yes, yes.
And that's what
right, because some of us have been here all lives, and you're not truly free to do what you want to do. We've seen that in the news lately. We won't get too deep, but we've seen that in the news that everybody's not quite free.
No.
Right.
So, but, you know.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's been very enlightening, you know, and I definitely see us talking about more in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I know we got deep on that and gave everybody some pearls of wisdom. And I thank you so much for getting on here and being so honest. And that's one thing I love about you. You're very raw. You will say what you're thinking, but you think before you speak. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're definitely a thinker.
I know. You saw like a couple of things. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me clean it.
Well, we've had conversations off the air, too. And I know people have to say, I mean, you have to, if somebody could figure out how to put themselves in your shoes, one of the things I tell people, can you imagine what it's like to be uprooted from America and be thrown into Iran or thrown to Jamaica or thrown into Europe? And so, and then look, you can't speak their language and you're forced to learn it and you're forced to understand how to get a job, how to work, how to coexist. So before we do that, we just need to understand that America was built by a wide range of of backgrounds.
Backgrounds.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, wide range. It wasn't one culture that built America the way that it is, you know?
Nope.
So,
nope.
So, and then we can't use each other in a harm's way. And basically, I would say abuse. Because the other thing that I do teach people is you want to be used, but you want to be used in the right way. Because you go to school to learn something so a job can use your skills. Yes, that's a great way. When you go and get a job, you want to get an interview, you want to have a resume. That's you wanting to be used. Now, I get that. But abuse is when you want somebody to do something and you don't pay them for it. You don't reward them for it.
Exactly.
You know, and you don't care how they feel. You don't want to see how they feel. So.
Exactly.
You want to leave the group with anything, pearls of wisdom, anything?
Love yourself. Please love yourself. Like I said, I don't know if we even talked about this last time, but it's been 2 years that I've been working on myself and self-care.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the end of my life, if you don't love yourself, nobody will love you.
That's right.
Because it's... And don't depend on somebody else to give you confidence.
That's right.
Give you anything. Because it's nobody's job but yourself.
That's right. Well, on that note, everybody, I want y'all to stay stress-free. Get out here, enjoy the weather, get some sun, love yourself, trust yourself, and motivate yourself. And nobody else can do it, guys. You know what I mean? So.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you for being on. We definitely gonna do it again.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. God bless.
Looking forward.
All right. Peace. Bye.